Thank you so much, worship team. Alaric, it was awesome music. I asked them to do a few songs about revival and the fire of the Holy Spirit and stuff for the message I'm going to be sharing here shortly. Is it coming through? Good. About 20 years ago, little bit of an echo here, I'm not sure if it's from this, but about 20 years ago, my nephew Gregory was getting baptized in a Ukrainian Catholic church. And I wanted to write a little song for him about baptism. And it's called Sleepy Eyes, and it's kind of grown over these years into a song about the nativity scene of Jesus being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then a verse in it as well is how much our land is needing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit to create a new revival, especially for our young folks. I see a lot of young folks here in the front row here, and God bless you for coming. And you will be the soon leaders of our nation. And do we ever need a renewal and a revival to be pouring out? So the word should be shooting up here. It's a song called Sleepy Eyes. And I think of a scripture from Ephesians. Wake up, O sleeper. So now's the time to wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, so that the light of Christ may shine on you. And we all are basically kids of God. And thank you, Alaric, again for pointing out, you know, our Father God. Sometimes the fathers maybe are the ones in the background. And today, all you fathers that have kids, milk it today. Make sure their kids spoil you rotten. And utilize every ounce of the day and every minute to be blessed by your spouse and your kids. Take a look, my friends, at the land we love. Our only hope is the Lord above. He's a gentle rain on a thirsty ground, living water flowing all around. God of your child, arise, pour your Holy Spirit on sleepy eyes. Forever hold his hand, raise him up, a warrior for our land. Ooh, ooh, he will raise the banner of freedom. Sound a trumpet till your kingdom come. May you bless this child with passion and desire, till our land's ablaze in revival fire. Sing along. God of our children, rise, pour your Holy Spirit, sleepy eyes. Forever hold their hands, raise them up, true warriors for our land. They will raise the banner of freedom. Sound trumpet till your kingdom come. May you bless each child with passion and desire, till our land's ablaze in revival fire. Ooh, ooh, revive sleepy eyes. God of our children, rise, pour your Holy Spirit on sleepy eyes. Forever hold their hands, raise them up, true warriors for our land. God of our children, rise, pour your Holy Spirit, sleepy eyes. Forever hold their hands, raise them up, true warriors for our land. Raise them up, true warriors for our land. Baptism of fire is not a real hot topic today in Canada or North America. Not even in our Pentecostal circles of our nation. Our own denomination that has such a dynamic history of Pentecostal fire. It's not a hot topic much to be heard in church. About a month ago, it was Pentecost Sunday on May 15th, and I actually was assigned to preach at the Hope Mission Sunday night service. And it's an interdenominational mission. And it was an interesting service that night when I preached on Pentecost Sunday. And I felt to kind of revise it a little bit and do it for us here today. Because I think every Sunday should be a Pentecost Sunday. We need the anointing, the fullness, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the older I get, the more I realize I need more and more of that power of the Holy Spirit. And our denomination in Canada doesn't seem to be growing very much. A lot of our congregational members are going to other denominations, and I'm praying that we will have a revival back in this land. Pentecost, in the ancient Greek word, Pentecosti, is a Greek name for Shavuot, which is the Hebrew name of the Feast of Weeks of the Jewish faith. It's a prominent feast in the calendar of ancient Israel, celebrating the giving of the law to Moses at Sinai. And in Christianity, it's celebrated as the 50 days after the Easter day, including both the first and last days, 7 weeks of Easter day. And it's celebrated as our Pentecost Sunday. In the New Testament, Pentecost Sunday was the occasion of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that we sang about and that we should be praying about every day on the apostles and the followers of Jesus Christ, as in Acts 2, 1-5. And I have the slide up there. It's kind of small, but you probably have heard it many times. Let me read it again for you. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Doesn't that speak of unity of the church? All together in one place, unified. What were they doing? Praising and praying, just as we are today. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And we know those tongues, according to Acts chapter 2, were different languages of all the different people that were coming in for the festival. And they were totally baffled that people could know their language and not even be in their area. And that was a sign to all of these non-believers that something special was happening on that day. And a lot of theologians have said that was the birthday of the church. The birthday of the church. That was the day that the Holy Spirit just didn't hover and come upon people. The Holy Spirit was wanting to come and indwell in the temple, not in temples made of stone, but in the body of our temple, our bodies. And he began to pour his Spirit, the fire, right into the very souls and the nature of everyone that was there. And that everybody was baptized tells me that God doesn't show no favoritism. He wants all of us to be renewed and filled with the Spirit. He wants all in New Hope Christian Assembly to be filled with the Spirit. And that's getting less and less as the years go by. I grew up with the old Pentecostal traditions in the 80s, and I remember in those years it wasn't a Sunday, the years didn't go by that there wasn't about an hour, hour and a half prayer after the Sunday service, the evangelistic services at Central I used to go to. And we go into prayer meetings sometimes for an hour and a half, 100, 200, 300 people. And everybody praying for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And every Sunday, people were being baptized and filled. And the old preachers of those days, they just kept saying, it's for everybody, not just for one or two. The baptism is for everybody. Because they knew that was the enabling power that is needed to live this Christian life. So how was the date of Pentecost Sunday determined? Well, like the dates of most favorable feasts of the Jewish religion, the Pentecost Sunday depends on Easter. It's always 50 days after Easter, counting Easter and the Pentecost day itself. So that's how they determine. So every year it's a different day. Sometimes we talk about the baptism of fire. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit. All synonymous terms meaning the same thing. That God's Spirit wants to come and indwell in believers and give us the full meal deal. not just for specific individuals that were chosen in the Old Testament days. Dear God, I pray, forgive us for neglecting. Forgive us for rejecting and grieving your Holy Spirit. Here in Canada, that was once a strong Christian nation, we seem to have traded the power of your fire for our own inventions of higher powers that can't hold a match to the power of the fire of your Spirit. As Paul warned us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And I pray, God, that you will light a flame in this service today, that it'll start a forest fire throughout this church that will spread by the wind of your Spirit throughout the city and beyond. Blow your Spirit, O God, and spread this fire that comes within us throughout this community, just as the fire of Fort McMurray devastated by natural fire. May you show us how to fight fire with fire by the power of your Holy Spirit. Especially pray for the fathers of our land, Lord, that there will be a baptism of fire upon our fathers. Lord, every day is Father's Day because you are our Father that we depend upon. Your Son Jesus totally depended on you in everything. And as we depend on you, may you send the fire again that you sent on the book of Acts, on this church, churches throughout our land, on our nation. Well, the hottest topic, especially last month and even still is a little bit now, has been not the fire of Pentecost, but it's been the fires of Fort McMurray. An incredibly devastating, destructive force that will never leave our memories. But I've discovered by doing a little bit of research on forest fires that there are many benefits of forest fires, natural benefits that actually God has implemented in spite of the devastation it's caused Fort McMurray and other places when it comes and just licks up the life that we have in our cities, 10-15% of Fort McMurray. According to an article I read on the internet, it said this: forest fires get a bad reputation. Well, yes, these fires are harmful and destructive to humans and the topography affected. They also come with many hidden benefits. According to the Natural Disasters tab on the National Geographic website, one could argue that forest fires play a vital role in maintaining nature's constant cycle. The destructive manner of wildfires helps the environment and the forest habitat in a variety of ways. Not only do they remove dead and decaying plants that act as fuel for future fires, ones that will be more intense and disastrous, wildfires also work to eliminate the dense foliage and thin out the forest, allowing plants closer to the forest floor to come in more contact with the sunlight and the rain, enabling a new generation of seedlings to grow. If you could maybe turn the volume down on the monitors just a little bit, I'm getting a little echo back here, that would help me out a bit. And the intense heat of these fires, that's better, they strip also the nutrients and the minerals out of the plants and the trees that are burning. And it's almost like it's raining down all the nutrients on the soil and the ash, restoring the composition and making the soil ready for the next generation to grow. An example is the fireweed, they said, that comes out of the wake of a forest fire. Used in habitat restoration, fireweed is often a necessary component in reestablishing vegetation in a burn site. So there are many hidden benefits of fire. And I'm not in any way saying that anything good came out for Fort McMurray. We grieve, we continue to pray, and we certainly hope that God is doing some wonderful things for them in rebuilding their city and their lives. But there are many parallels to the purifying purpose of natural forest fires to the purifying power of the fire of the Holy Spirit. In general, fire, as I've said, it purifies a forest that's cluttered with brush and underbrush, half-dead trees, decaying plants, from reaching its vital potential. And just like a healthy garden needs to be weeded regularly, and I got a whole bunch of plants around our home, and I can't keep up to it, Joseph. I get it. I think I got all these little elm tree little buds that go all over our stuff, and they just keep shooting up all of these weeds, and I can't keep up to them, but I try. But that's what a fire does. It continues to relieve us of these things that get in the way. In the same way, God, the Holy Spirit, desires to burn off all the excesses in us, all the emotional excesses, all that spiritual baggage that we carry around that hinder us from being totally fruitful in the ministry He has for us in our walk with God. And it prevents us from being on fire for the Lord, so to speak. That means you're totally committed to Him with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Several times the Bible used the metaphor also of people as trees, as illustrations. And I think every congregation from every denomination in Canada here, throughout the forest of God's people of North America, we need a new outpouring of Holy Spirit fire to start to purify our churches from all the dead underbrush that's collecting in our lives, all these branches that are so dry that are ready to snap off because there's no strength in them left, because they're starving and from the drought of the Holy Spirit that is like a sap going through a tree that's needed to keep us vital and alive. And most of it is because, according to the Old Testament especially, we can learn from, that our Christians of our land are becoming more and more like trees, brittle, tender, waiting for just a spark to set us on fire. And we don't have the life of the Holy Spirit flowing through us like we used to. We need a Holy Spirit forest fire to blaze throughout our churches to burn this underbrush. Old stuff like old resentments need to be burned up with this fire. Old hurts that still are just cutting at the edge of our hearts, building resentments, bitterness, unbelief. Old and bad attitudes that get stuck in there that just can't seem to go like sludge in an engine needs to be pushed out and cleansed out by the fire of God in our souls. All the bad things that we hoard at home, sometimes material stuff, we know that when we're cleaning house. Well, sometimes we hoard things in our spiritual bodies too and in our temples. Hang on to all the stuff that we think we need and we don't need it. And suddenly God takes away the blessing. We realize we didn't need all that anyways. May as well have given it away to the poor or something. We want to hoard all the blessings instead of letting us be a conduit to give to others. Send the fire, Lord. Burn it all up. Jesus said, we are the branches. He's the vine. And we can't produce fruit unless we're connected to the vine. And forests of Christians, I believe, are just doing too much of our own thing all over our land. We think we know what we want and we go after instead of being reliant on what we need. Running our churches and our Christian lives sometimes on our own strength and our own power more than His power. Getting too comfortable with our prosperity. And Alberta's had a real shakeup over the last 4 years. We're not comfortable anymore in our prosperity. It's very insecure around Alberta. Dried up Christians can become like tinder, ready to go up in smoke at the first spark that flies, as in those Fort McMurray devastating inferno. Who can forget those sights as we watched these folks going through that highway of hell, 100-foot flames on both sides? And I was watching that, I thought, how in the world, one of those sparks have got to hit a gas tank and it's going to start exploding cars up, and not one exploded as far as I heard. God was there. God was there. Reminded me of them going through the Red Sea at the time of Moses for the walls of water, and God was pulling them through. But I wonder how many of them going on that highway of hell really were getting the message that God was keeping that fire from consuming them all. God was providing a way out. He was actually showing Fort McMurray, I'm here to bring you salvation. Not just from the fire, but from sin, from everything. Recently, as a PAC clergyman, I'm on their, it's one of their members of the people that do the board of a clearance for people getting their credentials. And last year, I was being there with one young fellow from Africa that was coming and wondered, why in the world did God send me to Fort McMurray? He was kind of saying. And he was giving his story, and he was just getting his credentials. And why Fort McMurray? But he was obedient, and he had talked about how he went there and almost for 6 months lived in his car. He had no money, no support. Like, who's going to help a young man from Africa start a church with Fort McMurray with no money and no nothing. Now he knows why God sent him to Fort McMurray. He's part of the building up and the rebooting of that whole city. And there's a reason that God asks us to do sometimes some very silly things. The Old Testament is filled with story after story of how God holds back the rain and he sends natural disasters to get people's attention. It just goes on and on, that story and cycle, over and over and over again. And the same God today is the same as he was yesterday, and God doesn't change his mind. He still uses the same tactics. Satan has his schemes, God has his strategies, how to get a people back to God. Well, he's beginning to do it. I remember when we had our 6 weeks of drought before just when that forest fire hit. And I was getting scared myself, looking out my window and seeing our elm trees beginning to starve for water week after week after week and not a bit of rain. And I remember I started going into the book of Ephesians and crying out like Elijah, God, send the rain. And everywhere I was going, I was telling people, pray for rain. Don't take this for granted. God has put his hand against Alberta. We're not getting any rain. 6 weeks of no rain, hot and hot, forest fires out of control, wind blowing crazy. I believe that Christians were starting to pray all over Alberta, all over Saskatchewan. And when I ran into it, I said, pray for rain. And then it came. Boom. Now we're praying, God, hold it back. Well, Elijah prayed for the rain, then he held it back, so we might have to pray for him to hold it back. But not too much. We need a little bit. I wouldn't mind a little bit every second day. God is in control of the elements of nature, and so is the Christian that is on fire for God. We have the same power of the Holy Spirit as Elijah has. We can pray against the elements of nature. We can pray for our nation and not just rely on chance. One good thing that really happened out of the fires of Fort McMurray, maybe the only good thing, is I saw a repentance in Canada that I've never seen before. You know, we've always been told we're nice people, and I agree with that. But I think now we go into the world's history as the most generous people of any nation that's ever came up to the plate and dealt with something. There was so much generosity coming. I've never seen such repentance, because we've been accused of being a very self-centered, selfish society, and we are. But I watched that turn right around. I watched people just pouring in money and doing things that they would have never done. And God was bringing people of a nation of Canada to a new repentance. I hope it lasts. I hope it continues to grow. It was unprecedented. I mean, the rock group, The Who, very rich and famous, they heard all about it and they came to the concert and did their concert. Well, they had a lot of tickets, weren't sold, so they opened the doors and said, bring in only for free the people across the street that are the evacuees. So they filled up so a whole bunch of evacuees in Fort McMurray got a free Who's concert. And then one of my favorite guitar players, James Taylor, did a concert, and I went to see it the other week, and he gets up there and says, I'm giving all the proceedings of this concert, one in Calgary, to Fort McMurray. And, you know, very rich and famous people were jumping on board, showing generosity. Tony Roma's and other restaurants open up all their restaurants for free food for these people as long as they need it. Hotels, motels, citizens opened up their homes for temporary free dwellings. Wow, what repentance from a selfish society to an absolutely generous giving to people that you don't even know. And it was just sweeping all over Canada and then outside of Canada. Town of Lac La Biche opened up their hockey rinks for evacuees. And just fine folks all over Canada donating and donating hundreds of thousands of dollars, to the point that the federal government even said they'll match it up to a certain amount. It was wonderful to see that on the news every day. Now it's kind of fizzled out, but you know, the volunteers are telling people, please, no more donations. Don't send us any more trucks. They had way too much. We are now got a good reputation. We're a generous Canada, merciful. The Old Testament prophets prophesied that God would use the fire of natural fires and other fires of war and other kinds of things to bring their people of Israel back to God. And I'm going to give you some scriptures here quickly, some bullets to shoot at you. That God still uses supernatural means to purify his people. Isaiah 4:4, the Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion, which is Jerusalem at that time. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and spirit of fire. And those prophecies were given just before God allowed Babylon to come in with a fiery horde and almost wipe out Jerusalem at that time. Then Isaiah 66 says, see, the Lord is coming with fire. This is the second coming of the Lord that we're still waiting for. And his chariots are like a whirlwind. He comes to bring down his anger and fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For with fire and a sword are coming out of his mouth of the Lord, he will execute judgment upon all men, all the sin of this world. And many will be slain by the Lord. That's the second coming of the Lord that we're waiting for. That is a horrible day if you're not in Christ. For us that are in Christ, you can rest assured you will be raised and resurrected or raptured and glorified. We have nothing to fear. But those that are not in Christ should be terrified at Jesus when he comes back on the day of the Lord. It's a day of fire and justice and judgment against sin. Jeremiah said this, "Is not my word like fire? Declares the Lord like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces." When God speaks his word, it's like a sledgehammer that can go through anything. It's a fire that'll consume anything and everything around him. Then Ezekiel, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says. As I have given the word, the wood of the vine among the trees, the forest as fuel for the fire, so will I treat the people living in Jerusalem. I will set my face against them, although they have come out of the fire. The fire will yet consume them. And when I set my face against them, you'll know that I am the Lord. I will make the land desolate because they have been unfaithful, declares the sovereign Lord." And we know the story. Babylon did desecrate Jerusalem. They set it on fire, and only the survivors were sent for 7 years to Babylon. Malachi predicts the coming of the Lord in the last days. "See, I'll send my messenger," he's talking about John the Baptist here, "who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? He will be a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord." We sang that wonderful song, "Refiner's Fire." And that's kind of where my message is going here shortly. You want the fire of the Holy Spirit to do his work in here while you're a Christian. You don't want to wait till judgment day, till he comes back in the day of the Lord. It's too late. And when he comes with his fire, then it's justice against sin in this world. It's all in there, the book of Revelation, 2 Peter. They all talk about the world is reserved for what? Fire. It won't be consumed with water, it'll be fire. And as those Revelation judgments are unleashed one after another, a third, a quarter, a half, two-thirds, three-quarters and more of the world is going up in flames and fire. Earthquakes, all of those things, plus the wars that'll be consuming. Malachi 4, 1 and 5. Then in this last book of Old Testament, the book of Malachi, John the Baptist is again introduced. "Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day is coming. We'll set them on fire," says the Lord Almighty. "I will send my prophet Elijah," and he's speaking here of John the Baptist, "before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I'll come back and strike the land with a curse." And this is a verse for the fathers here today. Fathers may be listening on stream. The greatest thing you can receive is the gift that the Father God wants to give you. And that's the baptism of the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's the fire of the Holy Spirit. When you're purified by his fire, it will bring your children to you. It'll turn their hearts to you and vice versa. What greater gift can you give your family and your children is to be a man of God baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit, that you can serve God as the priest that God's called you, that you can be the man of God that the Lord is calling you to be. Too many men in our society leaving a lot of that up to the wives. And thank God the women are jumping under the plate and doing the job well. But we need men. We need men on fire with the fire of God. We need men to be priests like Elijah who will fight these wars and stand against anybody to the point of death. We need fathers to be baptized with the Spirit of the Father. It's the greatest gift that we can receive. And Elijah was the last Old Testament prophet in the body of John the Baptist. And I really appreciate that God chose John the Baptist to be very much like Elijah. The last old prophet, fire all the way. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit from when? Birth. Filled with the Holy Ghost right from the womb of, he was in the, probably saying, I hope I'm a premature child. Come out. I'm ready to go. He was baptized in fire, ready to go all the way. And nothing would stop him. He wanted nothing to do with the world. He lived in the wilderness. Wanted nothing to do with temptations. All he wanted to do was be with his Father, filled with fire. And when the moment came, when God said, now preach, then he started to preach against the hypocrisy of religion, against the proudness and the Phariseeism of them that loved money more than God. And he didn't hold nothing back. He was a fiery prophet. Of course, he lost his head over it. Let's read Matthew 3:1. I got a little ID here I want you to remember. Everyone here can be on fire for God. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your health is like, you can be on fire for God. I don't care what your age is like, you can be on fire for God. I don't care if you're a young person, an adolescent, an old person, you can be on fire for the God all the days of your life. Don't wait till later. Every believer can be on fire for God, but there's two baptisms you got to undergo, and I'm going to quickly go through them. The first is John's baptism. That's called the baptism in water for repentance. Let's quickly read Matthew 3:1-11. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He's talking about Jesus coming as the king. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was wild locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from all of Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by John in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, snakes, who warns you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown where? Into the fire. He's talking straight to the religious hypocrites of his time. And God have mercy on us as the church in North America. If John was around today, he'd probably come and say similar things. He would be kind and gentle and merciful to those that are broken and poor, humbled and crushed. But those that think they're right with God, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, who want the world in their heart but outwardly portray a holiness, religiosity, and rules like they did at this time, he would say the same things. He said, the axe is ready to chop you down. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. What was John's baptism all about? Number one, it signifies the washing away of sins by God. When you receive Christ, when you're being saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to cleanse you of all your sins through Jesus Christ. It says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through what? The Word. You see, when we come to Christ and we admit we're a sinner, young people, old people, our hearts are open. The Holy Spirit comes in because we accept Christ as the bridge towards getting the Holy Spirit. We're born again. His Holy Spirit comes in, and his Word, as we receive it, cleanses us and washes us. So that water is symbolic of the washing away of our sins. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5, 6. Whom he poured on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Then number two, it's a public confession and outward celebration of the inward work by God at conversion. One guy got saved in the book of Acts in chapter 22, and he said, well, what am I waiting for? Let's get baptized. He just got saved. And they found some water in a ditch, and they baptized him, washing his sins away. Public confession. It's also a public commitment to repent, which means to change your mind from living your own selfish ways of your sin nature to God's ways, changing your mind. That means repentance of sinful habits and behaviors. With all of your heart, as Colossians 2:11, 12 says. It says, in him you were circumcised in the putting off of the old sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, and having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So baptism of John was a symbolic representation of putting to death your old sinful nature and rising up resurrected, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly here, it's a symbolic representation of dying to the old way of life and the resurrection of the new, as it says in Ephesians. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If you're a believer here and you've never been baptized in water, you should, because Jesus said so, commanded us, said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. For I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Every year at Hope Mission, I lead a water baptism at Alberta Beach for the last 10 years. This year, it's going to be on Saturday, July 16th. And I think last year, we had about close to 30 people from our programs. And it's a picture of us baptizing somebody last year. And we talk about all of these things. And my major message to them all is repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, repent. Deal with your sins. To me, the washing of the water is symbolic of getting serious about the things of God. Because you can't have the second baptism I want to quickly focus on now without going through the first. God is not going to fill you with his Holy Spirit if you don't go through the waters of confession of your sins and baptism first. He's not going to trust you to fill you with his power if he knows he can't trust you if you're still living in your sinful nature. I wouldn't trust you either. Who would trust somebody that you know you can't trust? God wants to make sure that he could trust his people. And he put all of his apostles, and before Acts chapter 2 came along, they were tested in fire. And they all failed him. They all betrayed him. Peter, all of them. They all felt horrible. And Jesus wanted them to feel horrible. He wanted them to know that they can't live this Christian life no matter how much they make their mind to do it without his Holy Spirit. Peter said, I will never deny you. They all said, I will die for you. He said, we'll see. He said, you may want to with your attitude, but you don't have the power against the powers of darkness. You will fail because your sin nature is too weak. So he let them all fail. They all abandoned him right to the cross. And you know how horrible they must have felt. That's why it's not wrong to feel horrible about failing with your sin nature. If you don't have godly sorrow, if you don't feel some sadness and sorrow for your mistakes, I question that you've even really been cleansed by the Spirit of God. Too much of our Christianity, I think, today in the last 20, 30 years is preaching a very soft gospel. It's basically inviting people to come to Jesus for your own selfish reasons. Come to Christ so you can have recovery. Sometimes I've said that way too many times. Come to Christ so you can have peace. And then we got the extreme doctrines of prosperity. Come to Christ so you can be rich. Give and he'll give you back 100 times more. Come to Christ and you'll have all that you want. That's not the true gospel. It's not the full gospel. If you come to Christ, you're going to have some troubles. And if you want to be a man and woman of God baptized in fire, you're going to have to fall. You're going to have to be crushed of your sin nature and your self-dependence. And that's what needs to be confessed in the waters of baptism. Not that you got angry. We all get angry. Paul got angry. We're all going to make these little sins with our habits every day. But the big thing it needs to be repentant of is your self-sufficiency, of your dependence on self instead of total reliance on God. Too many of us have too many gifts. Saying something that's not even true, but just to get your attention. Because we rely on them too much then. Some people come to me and they're just gifted everythings. And they say, you know, I want to be a preacher. Why? Because I'm gifted. I'm a great talker. I've been a salesman of the year for years, and I just got saved, and I know how to get the job done. I'm a go-getter. I'm a ninja warrior on television. I can do anything, and I know how to influence people, and I swallow inside and say, God, I know God isn't calling them. God doesn't call people that want to put their whole sufficiency in their gifts and talents. They may look well for a while and have a whole following, but they're going to be the ones that are going to be cowards and run when the devil really comes at them to sift them like Peter did. Who said, I will never deny you. That's why God looks around and judges himself. He usually picks the people that know they can't do it and people that have a lot of weaknesses and are ready to rely on him. So I think every day we need to remind ourselves, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And the more responsibilities we have, the more we need to do that. Just talked to my wife this morning. By the way, keep praying for her. She's coming home next Wednesday. It's been a long 3 months, and I've never seen my wife go through more fires than she did at Uganda this time. Anything and everything is around her. She's been sifted, waxed. Anything that could happen to test her in fire has happened. And I've never seen such a difficult battle. I prayed day and night for her. Yesterday I prayed 5 hours for her because she was having such a hard day. I just pray and pray, and my prayer is, God, my wife can't do the job without your fire and power. And I can't do the job where I'm in is without your fire and power. And my prayer is getting more desperate. And I watch the election going on in the States. I say, God have mercy. Where we're going. And that people in America and Canada, most of the evangelical wing are going into that arena. Believing that's the best way. Because there's somebody saying, I have all the gifts and I will get the job done. Yes, he will get the job done. But it won't be by the power of the Holy Spirit, because God's Spirit won't work with somebody that does it on their own power. So Christians, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. We need the baptism of fire. Quickly here before I close, Matthew chapter 3, verses 10. Back to John the Baptist, he says, he's speaking to the Pharisees and the religious hypocrites. The axe is at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. Point one. But, I love that word but, because something good is coming. It's like ice cream and chocolate cake. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I. Well, John was the most powerful, godly Christian that ever lived in the Old Testament, I think. And even Jesus said there was nobody greater than John. I guess he's greater than even Elijah then. And what did John say? I am nothing. I can't even be in the shadow of tying up his sandals. That's exactly where a man of God and the fathers of our nation need to be, and the women of our nation. We can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Even if you're the greatest of the greatest. I watched Muhammad Ali's funeral last Friday, and I'm a real follower of his incredible abilities, what he did, and no doubt he's probably one of the greatest leaders and people of our nation. And I watched him with eight different clerical people of all religions there giving a wonderful talks, including a Christian, and every religion was there. And he just wanted unity, and I respect him for that. You know, at least he's trying to get the best of everybody and bring unity. But the bottom line of it is it's all going to fall apart without who? Without Jesus being the center of it anyways. We still need Christ. And this is what John said. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We don't have to worry about ISIS. We don't have to worry about the enemies of God. We don't have to worry about even the devil. If we're baptized in fire, you do what God wants you to do, and he'll take care of the rest. If God be for you, who can be against you? All of our military machines of the world strategizing how to beat ISIS. And I look back and say, no wonder we're always failing. We'll never beat him because we're relying on what? Our own power and resources again. And God has just got all of the world going around in circles trying to beat an ISIS that would be totally defeated quickly if we nations and the political people of our nation came together and started admitting that we can't beat them, but God can. Watch out. God is just waiting for a nation. Well, he's going to have it in Israel soon, by the way, because not only ISIS is coming in Israel in the last days, the whole world is coming against Israel. And it's already prophesied that they will call on the name of the Lord and that he will defend Israel in the last days when the whole world is out to destroy them. Because it's not by might nor by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Jesus' last words said this to these very busted, broken apostles, 120 of them, that were totally feeling defeated, knowing they were terrified of dying like Jesus just died. And he said, look, folks, do not leave Jerusalem. Don't go out and save the world. You're not ready yet. Acts chapter 1, 4, 5. But wait for the gift my Father promised. And this is the gift I want to give you fathers here today. This is the gift I want to give any of you fathers that are listening online. This is the gift of the gifts of gifts. This is from a gift from Father God. It's the gift of the baptism of His Spirit. That's the greatest gift that I could offer the fathers of our nation. You will change your world around. If you're baptized with the power of God and true repentance, your family will serve God inevitably because of the power in you. You will do great things in Christ. And this is what Jesus said. John baptized with water, baptism 1. But in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the world. That's the gospel of evangelism summed up in one verse. And we all need to be part of it. Again, here in Canada, we put way too much reliance on the clergymen to do the job for us and the hired staff in our churches. Well, they're the pastor of evangelism. They're the ones that got to go door to door. No! Every one of us are called to go out and be missionaries. Maybe not in the classic sense that my wife is or me at Hope Mission. But we're all called to go forth in the power of the Spirit of God, to be a light and an influence wherever we are. The kids do it in school. The youth go wherever they go. Wherever we go, we're all called to be a light shining with fire, being ready to give testimony. Primary baptism of the Holy Spirit of fire is to receive the power of the Spirit to cleanse us, to purify us, and to empower us to do the job in these temples we call our body. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2 when that day of Pentecost came. Suddenly that sound like the blowing of a violent wind came. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. And they weren't even standing up. They were sitting. How can you have a praise session without sitting? Well, they were. Goes to tell us that I guess it's not always the way we stand or the way we sit. They were sitting at the time. Holy Spirit came on. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember the coward Peter that just days before denied Christ and ran in cowardice fear? After he was baptized, shortly a day or so later, what did he do? He stood up around Jerusalem and preached his first message, pointing his finger like John the Baptist. You crucified Jesus Christ. And he just, those ones that he was terrified at, he had power to face them dead on. 3,000 or so were saved at his first sermon, and they were baptized. Talk about the church growth in one day. Could he have done that on his own power, even though he thought he could? One day, one sermon, and the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 of the hardest people that were shouting at Jesus, crucify him, repented and were saved. That's the fire of the Holy Spirit over the power that we have in ourselves. Some of you have seen the transformation video. Old, but they're good. Transformation video 2 talked about a Native Inuit community up in northern Quebec. It was like some of these ones that are around now that suicide is out of control. And the devil is just killing the children with suicide, drug addictions, abuse, violence, addictions, everything out of control. Well, it was happening to that northern community in Quebec. And some missionaries got in there and started to preach Christ to some degree. And the local churches came together. And they went to the elders, the native elders and all of them, saying, this is what you need. And they listened. They started having prayer meetings. They started coming together. They were so desperate because their nation was falling apart, the First Nations, that they're willing to try everything, and they knew their native spirituality wasn't solving the problem. And they repented, and they started to call on the name of the Lord. They're having prayer meetings daily. One day, just like the book of Acts, they were there worshiping the Lord. Many, many people from that whole community, native elders, the church, all kinds of people. And a wind came and started to shake that little church. Tongues of fire came and rested on everyone that was there. All of them were baptized in power with the fire of the Holy Spirit. They closed the bars down. The whole nation area repented. And they had a revival. I haven't followed up to know what's going on there now. It's about 12 years later. But that's the only revival I've ever heard of in Canada where God actually did Acts chapter 2 to that degree. And the most unlikely place that you wouldn't think wouldn't have a hope of it happening happened over there. Can it not happen in New Hope? You got a new pastor coming here. 2 weeks, he's going to be standing here. Maybe he'll be listening to this. I know he'd be saying, oh, that's what I've been praying for, is the baptism of fire. I don't know him well, but I know he's of that stock. And we got a good man of God coming. But he's going to do his absolute best to turn this church around and make it grow in power. And we got a lot of gifted people here. And I thank God for all of you that have served and served so much here. And I've been one of them. I'm getting weaker and weaker and iller with my exhaustion of my ministries. And I can't do as much now. But I can't stop praying and crying out for more fire, no matter how weak I get, including today. And I want him to come here in 2 weeks, stand in his pulpit, and know that he's got a church behind him that is going to say, Pastor, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by Pastor Roberto. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of us, from young to old, and some of you may have been going to church for your whole life, and you still haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'd like, if I could have you come up and Twyla, maybe just background a little bit, revival fire, refiner's fire, just quietly for me. Thank you. Sorry for not giving you a warning. But I know you're so good at that you'll know that song. And as she quietly sings in the background, I'd just like us to stand, please. I'm not going to have an altar call to come up to the front because I don't want just certain people to come. I want you all, as it was the book of Acts, to be touched by God today. If it's trouble for you standing, remain sitting. God's power came on people that sat too. You don't have to be standing. It's up to you. Some of you need to repent on the things I've talked about. Yeah, maybe there's some sins coming to your mind. I want you to be confessing that in your heart to God. But maybe the biggest thing we need to repent of is believing somehow we can live this Christianity on our own power, on our own resources, our own talents. Are you ready to let go and let God and give up? Especially you younger folks. You don't have to go through your whole life going on that youthful strength, because you will end up in the same boat as all of us, realizing that you can't do even close to what God can do by His Spirit on your own youthful vigor and strength. For those that wait upon the Lord, and that's us older dudes, will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run, not be weary, and they'll walk and not be faint. So I want, first of all, to have two quick baptisms here. I want us, for those who need to be baptized with repentance, you can raise your hands up if you're comfortable with that. And in your own words, either outwardly or in your heart, you confess to God what you need to repent of. And let's do that for a few moments, then I'm going to pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to baptize you. And I will pray for you as you're praying. Father God, I just pray your Holy Spirit take over now. Lord, you said, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We submit ourselves to you, and we resist the evil one away right now that's interfering with what you want to do in the lives of everyone here right now, or those online. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak as John the Baptist spoke. What do we need to repent of? What things in our life are getting in the way of the fire of God? Maybe we're not willing to go out there and do the work you've called us to do. Forgive us for that. Maybe we're so involved in the world and the world's joys and pleasures and the love of money and all that, we got no time or no energy to do your work. Forgive us for that. Maybe we're worn out and we have no more love in our hearts and we're angry and bitter and grumpy and complaining. Forgive us for wearing ourselves out, doing it on our own strength. Lord, whatever we need to be purified with, I pray that your Holy Spirit will begin to purify us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to cleanse and wash over us. May you take us in the symbolic waters of baptism now, Father. May you wash through our soul. May you wash through our mind. May you wash through our heart. May you cleanse us of everything, O God, that we can be ready to be filled with fire and filled with your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we lift up our hands and we offer our bodies to you now. We lift up our hearts, our will, our life. We cast all of our iniquities, all of our sins, everything of flesh. We lay it all on the cross. And Father, you said, confess your sins one another, pray for one another, so you may be healed. And I pray you'd bring healing to everyone now that's doing their own water baptism of confession, water of the word. Cleanse them, heal them, prepare them for the second baptism now, Lord. Now I want to pray for the baptism of fire for all of you. If you really have repented with the baptism of water, you're ready. You don't have to fear God or the Spirit. He won't give you anything more than He's able to enable you to do. You will have the power of His Spirit. He may baptize you with gifts, the gift of speaking in tongues. That's usually the evidence of being filled with the Spirit, as we believe as Pentecostals. So as I'm praying for you to be baptized in fire, you lift up your mouth and allow, and even in your own heart, I want you to say, God, give me the gift of tongues as evidence that I'm filled with the Spirit. And don't be surprised if suddenly you start having a language in your mind, well, then speak it out and pray in tongues. We are a Pentecostal church. He may give you the gift of anything. He may give you the gifts of faith. He may give you the gift of prophecy. That's up to Him to decide. But we all need to be filled with the Spirit, which is the baptism of fire. So if you're sitting or standing, you can raise your hands now. And I want you in your own words to cry out to God. And don't be scared of speaking out loud. And ask for God to fill you and baptize you with His Spirit. I will pray for that to happen, but you need to also obviously be ready and willing. And for you that have the gift of tongues, already baptized in the Spirit, you have my permission to walk around and lay your hands on those that are praying, that God will also give them the gift of tongues, the evidence, as they're open to it. So you people that do have the gift of tongues, speak in your language, and let's pray that God will baptize everybody to some degree, from the youngest to the oldest, as He did in the book of Acts. Father God, as You prayed and they prayed, You came down with fire and wind. And now we ask You, Holy Spirit, to come down on everyone in this place that has an open heart, that is willing and ready to be filled with Your Spirit and Your power. I pray, Lord, as we lift up our hands, I pray that You come upon the young people and baptize them with Your Spirit. I pray You come upon the older generation, baptizing with Your Spirit. I pray You come upon those that have never been baptized before and they feel like, why not me, Lord? I pray today be the day they're baptized with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. May You baptize them now, O God. May You fill them with Your power. Fill them with Your Spirit. Fill them with whatever that they need. Lord, continue to fill Twyla. Fill her with the power of Your Spirit. Baptize her with a new fresh fire, a new fire that just pours through her soul, pours through her hands, pours through her mouth, pours through her life, O God. I pray for Alric and the worship team. Baptize them all with more fire, O God. And if there's any on the team that have not been baptized in the Spirit, fill them with power and fire, O God. I pray for all of our people here, O God. I pray for this family, O God, that You'll fill them with the Holy Spirit by the power of God, from the young to the old. Lord, may You continue to touch all of our elders. Baptize them in fire and their wives, O God. We are not going until we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not by might or by power, but by You. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them with power. Fill them with fire, O God. Purify them to the depths of their soul, O God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for us that are a little bit older, give us a new fire, a new heart. Baptize us with more strength and more grace. And Lord, if any have not been baptized with fire, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, may the Spirit of the gift of tongues be given to everybody and anybody here that's open to it. For Your glory, Shakali Arabatari Arabalabababababananda, Sharabatari Arabalabababababakori Arabadanda. And Lord, I praise You for all of Your servants. Lord, I pray for this family and everybody in this role. Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit and power. Continue to fill and empower Pat and all of them, Belinda and all of them, Lord. Fill them with Your presence. Fill them with Your Spirit. Touch them with the glory of God. Pour Your Spirit, O God, that the fire of Your presence will do the work that only You can do, O God. And I thank You, O Lord, for the blessings You have in Christ. Touch this couple, O Lord. Fill them with fire. May the power of Your presence continue to be released. I thank You, Lord, for everyone. Fill this young lady, Lord. Fill her with Your passion. Fill her with Your Spirit. Baptize her, Lord, with the glory that comes from serving Christ. And thank You for this family, Lord. I pray for this little sleepy eyes that's wide awake. Lord, we just pray for the fullness of the Spirit to baptize her and her sister. May You fill her with the Spirit of God. And touch this couple, O Lord. Touch this family. Fill them, O God, that Your presence and power will continue to be released. Lord, pour Your Spirit upon all of us. Fill Your servants, O God. Baptize this little young lady, O Lord. Fill her with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour Your grace. Fill this man, O God, with grace and power. May there be an utterance of the power of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for all the faithful servants who have been here a long time. Lord, all these weary warriors, fill them with power. Touch them with fire. Renew them and strengthen them and empower them, O God, with the power of your Spirit. For you alone are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the grace of God. Continue to pour your Spirit upon this gentleman, Lord. Fill him with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Purify and cleanse him to do the work you've called him to do in these weeks and months of this year. And all of your servants here, O God, I thank you, O Lord, for the power of your Spirit. Continue to bless and pour your Spirit, O God, on all of your servants. May we be filled and renewed and purified with a new fire for the Holy Spirit. Shakatoria rabarabadanda. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shatoria rabarabadanda radakia. And Lord, what you started today, I pray that you'll continue to do hour after hour, day after day. And any of those that may be watching online or in the future, I pray for all the power of your presence being released here to be released upon them as well in the name of Jesus. For Lord, we need the fire of your Spirit to sweep not only through Alberta, but through Canada, the United States, and everywhere we go. So Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Pour your grace and power. Fill them with power and might, O God, in your name. And Lord, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Touch our young people. Touch us all, O God, and renew us with fire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise the Lord and give him thanks for what he's doing right now. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing a verse of the song you were doing before. Refiner's Fire. Let's just sing one verse of Refiner's Fire to close here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Fire hearts, let us be as gold and precious silver. Purify this church. Let us be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Lord, as we go our way now, I just pray for the presence that's just inhabiting us now to continue on and grow, and may we see new life come into our prayer life, our Bible studies, our relations with people, and every part of our life. And may you speak specifically to all of us about what you may want them to do in terms of your will in their lives. So bless this day, O God, and may this fire just continue to get hotter and hotter before Pastor Roberto comes here in 2 weeks for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. I won't be probably preaching for a while again, so you'll forget the resentment of me going way over time today. So that helps. I'd only do it once in a while. God bless you. Thank you, Twyla.